SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Guys, you should see Dell in here doing the jig, shaking them up. I tell you, yeah, we have comedians Dell Harrison and Jay Phillips with us on this Free Your Mind Friday. We're talking about what grinds your gears, what's getting on your nerves this week, what just makes you want to scream. Get it off your chest right here. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We gotta talk about Donald Trump. Not just the debate with Hillary Clinton, but this thing came out of the debate where he has been going in on the former Miss Universe about, you know, her weight. This is a guy who is the Republican nominee for president.
Yep.
And Jay, at about 3 o'clock this morning, he began to tweet about a Miss Universe who was Miss Universe about 20 years ago. Have you ever seen anything like it? What is going on?
Now, this is absolutely terrible, to be honest with you. Now, because I related to real life people and or people who we can, you know, associate ourselves with. Now, just say that this guy was an athlete and he was in the NBA. And let's just say he was a star forward for whatever team in the country this is. And he was going off on rants like he is right now. This guy will get suspended from being able to you know, play basketball or play football or whatever it is. But no, it's okay for him to do that and actually run for the president of the United States. And the double standard is Barack had to run such a clean everything. Everything had to be squeaky clean. We haven't found a parking ticket that this guy's had wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
You know, and that's for 8 years straight. Now, I pray to God nobody looks at my past. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I understand. You had some really mean parking tickets.
Yeah, because I speed. You understand me? No, but I'm just saying, it's like for somebody to be, you know, this close to being able to be the president, I keep thinking that one of these days he's just going to back out and say, you know what, I was just seeing how far I can go. And that's basically it, man. I really don't understand how people are really considering voting for this guy after these type of, you know, tantrums. Basically, what they are, they're tantrums.
Well, I can believe. First of all, I want to say this before I even go on. It wasn't late night for Donald Trump. You know, old people get up early. Okay, so it was 3 a.m. He had just woke up, and you know, he was like, "What? Well, it's the beginning of my day. Let me attack someone," because that's what rich white spoiled brats do when they have nothing to lose and everybody to back them up. I mean, I don't even know why we're surprised, you know what I'm saying, at this guy's actions. We got, look what's going on. You know, racism just never surprised me. It never surprised me when we have white males that can do whatever they want to do. You know what I'm saying? No offense to the white males, but I mean, you know what's up.
Of course, no offense to the white males.
But I mean, y'all know what kind of country we live in. Come on now.
And here's the thing that's really, you know, that's really a grabber for me. The USA Today publishing this non-endorsement for president. First of all, they've never published an endorsement for a candidate ever, but now they published it's publishing a first non-endorsement, and it says that he's unfit for the presidency, a serial liar, erratic, ill-equipped, and traffics in prejudice. But here's the thing that's almost funny: not endorsing Hillary Clinton and saying that her flaws are less likely to threaten national security or lead to a constitutional crisis. So you're bad, but not as bad.
But you know what? First of all, USA Today, shout out to y'all. I am going to subscribe as soon as we get off the radio, okay? Thanks so much, because I feel the exact same way. Like, Hillary, somehow she has not established a trust with me. Like, although she's the better
of
the
candidates. You don't
trust
Hillary?
No.
Why not?
I feel like, I mean.
She emailed me. She says she good.
Well, there it is.
Count.
Did she email you from home or from the State Department?
Both. She CC'd me from a whole bunch of different places.
And she had classified in a title.
Oh, wow. That's just bad.
You know, The thing is, I mean, I feel like Hillary deserves it because I feel like Donald Trump, you on your third marriage, you got four bankruptcies. You don't keep your word. Six?
Yeah, there are okay. six business bankruptcies.
You don't keep your word, okay? We can't trust your word. So I feel like Hillary, you know, a man could cheat on her. A man could just overtake her, win over it, and she still will have their back. So I feel like that's why she deserves it. Plus, I feel like, yeah, it's time for a woman to get up in there. We've never had a woman. Let her get up in there, but somehow just Hillary looks no fun, and you know, it's almost like that, you know, that school teacher that would be telling your parents that you did all the bad stuff, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly, you know? With a ruler.
Yeah, and well, trying to hit you with it.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Omar, calling from Silver Spring. Omar, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm really ticked off because when Kaepernick protested, social media blew up, basically criticizing him. But when you have an unarmed black man get shot with his hands up, social media was completely silent. It just really upset me. And the second point on Trump, for someone who ran on stamina, talking about he got the stamina, he looked very uncomfortable in that debate. Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, thank you so much, Omar. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What's getting on your nerves this week? What's grinding your gears? Tori, calling from Columbia. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to say, and I appreciate you guys having this conversation, just with regard to Black Lives Matter and Black-on-Black crime, I think that we continue to talk about police brutality and things like that, but we don't address the cancer and the cancer of systemic racism. It's institutionalized racism. And so to the point that your guest made, there have always been outcries from the community, vigils, requests for additional police presence, all types of activity protesting black-on-black crime as well. But the fact of the matter is, Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement was launched because of the injustices of the police department and the police, continued police brutality. So I think that when we try to equate the two, I think that it's, again, an unfair comparison. And to your last caller's point, actually, Black Lives Matter politicized when the white young man was killed by police officers. So it's not true. It's just kind of where you're looking. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't address the cancer of systemic racism and institutionalized racism, we're going to continue to have conversations about the symptoms, police brutality, economic disadvantages, you know, disparities, things like that. The cancer is institutionalized racism. It needs to be addressed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Go right ahead. What do you think?
Well, once again, I agree with it. And I think what the whole movement is all about is to get us to talking about it so that there can be a possibility of some change. Now, once, you know, what kind of change are we going to have in our lifetime? I'm not sure. Do I think that there are small things that can happen that will make baby steps towards making it better? I do, you know, and one thing nobody ever talked about is specifically what it is that you can do to change it. The first thing that I think that can happen to start a change in this is to eliminate paid leave for shooting anybody. I understand.
You mean they're putting them on administrative leave?
Yes. I mean, the administrative leave, you get paid. It's just the same as going to work every day. And you took somebody's life. I think, you know, to their point, they don't want to have to hesitate to defend themselves. But at the other side, I think there should be a hesitation when it comes to, your strike zones when you are defending yourself. Just like you have to, you know, I keep relating things to sports because I'm a sports fan. But just, you know, in sports, when you tackle somebody, if you can't hit them in the head and you can't hit them below the knees, and I think that there's a strike zone that if you're trained properly that you wouldn't have any problems getting a hold of. You know, there's a taser, there's pepper spray. I've been pepper sprayed before. I think that's pretty effective. I didn't want to do anything else after the pepper spray was deployed. That was pretty much it. So yeah. You know, I think there's things that you can do to stop that. You don't have to shoot somebody all the time.
No, you don't have to shoot somebody. You also don't have to send racist racist white cops into black communities. I mean, you know, in New York, when I'm in Chinatown, there are Chinese police. When I'm in, you know, the Bronx, there are Puerto Rican police. Like, I think that you have to get our, you know, our police into our communities, because white cops are in these black communities and they're feeling threatened. One thing I want to say that Hillary said, too, it reminded me of what she said was, we need to control who has the guns in their hands to stop the killing, but we also need to control who has the gavel in their hands, because judges are seeing police on video kill a person that are unarmed, provoke a person, and they're still letting the suspect, they're still letting the police off. But they see, get to go scot-free.
But see, here's the problem with that argument. It's not a big problem, but we do have to look at, you know, what has happened recently. Terrence Sterling here in Washington, D.C. on September 11th, the officer who shot him is black. The man who was killed in Charlotte, yep, the officer who shot him is black. And so that really kind of puts some holes in, you know, in the argument about, you know, just putting you know, our racial minorities in those communities. I'm not saying that that's a bad idea, but I think the reality is that, you know, like Jay was saying, training and the football analogy, I think, is not misplaced. I know, don't get upset with me.
No, I'm not upset with you, but I'm like, they don't need to be trained on how to deal with white males patiently.
No.
They don't need to be trained.
And this is what I'm saying, and this is what I mean. Not just about white police officers and black citizens, but as we have seen, and it's still not perfect in the football analogy, but we have seen widespread change in the NFL. Don't lead with your head, you're going to lead with your shoulder. And I think that if you begin to change the training of some of the officers, now certainly, you know, when some guy pulls out a vaping tool for that helps you to quit smoking, and he gets in the shooting stance, you know, what do you do?
Feel threatened because you don't know if it's a gun or not. And you know what? As a black female, when I'm walking home late at night, I feel threatened by all males behind me. You know what I'm saying? But because I live in a predominantly black area, it's always black males that's got me crossing the street at 2 a.m. because, you know, black males, there needs to be a curfew on you trying to holler at 2:30 a.m. Please, I don't want to talk to you at 2:30 a.m.
Why are you out at 2:30 in the morning? Isn't that past your
bedtime? Because I'm working.
Oh, okay, there
okay,
you go.
I'm gigging. Thanks so much. He tried to say I was, you know.
I'm just, you know.
Let me go back to the phone.
Yeah, stop working at 2:30 in the morning. Walk around the streets then.
and then there will be
Dang
no money.
Dang it, I need
right?
to blow up.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Simona calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Simona?
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. My first comment was about something that other people have already talked about, so mm-hmm. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But I did want to mention, like, I just find it interesting that there's no coin phrase called white-on-white crime when studies have shown that, like, 80% of white people killed are killed by other white people. And I just think it's interesting that that's not a phrase that we use. And a lot of the people who are using, saying, well, what about black on black crime is black people. And that just gets on my nerves sometimes.
Well,
let
me say,
the argument.
You know, Simona, I have something to say about that too. You knew I would. here's the thing, having lived in a whole lot of places in this country, and I'm sure, I'm quite sure that, you know, my guests who have traveled also can speak to this. You know, there are a lot of black folks in D.C. And, you know, still a lot of the black folks, they live in our urban areas. I don't mean in the hood, but they live in cities. But there are a lot of places in this country where you can be a white person and never see a black person. And that is where a lot of that white on white crime does happen, you know, because there aren't any minorities out there. But you're not going to have any black people to observe that. And I would imagine that if you live in some of those areas where they're predominantly white people and crime is committed against them, I don't think they're sitting in their living room going, boy, I tell you, there's another white person killing another white person.
And also, we make all the cool phrases, just so you know. So somebody black made the black on black crime, and that's why we're using it. Okay, and in 10 years, white people will be like, that's white on white crime. First of all, we are our brotherly race. That's why we take it so harshly when we kill each other, because we are a very loving people. But also, too, is white males and Asian males and Spanish males and all them who kill each other, they don't have the disparity that we have. That's why we're worried about black males killing black males, because black males are getting locked up. You know, you're not going to hear your Asian friend Mook Wang was just killed in a gang. You know what I'm saying? Because they're in a gang. We have the disparity. We have the black males in gangs. We have black males going to jail. And that's why it concerns me as a person that also brings up it too.
Hold on. Just go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was thinking that realistically, that phrase is a catalyst of the systematic racism that's going on. That's all that is, man. It's a way to separate black folks and put them in the forefront of the violent crimes when, you know, we obviously were not the beginners of this violent crime, and, you know, we're not the only ones participating in it. But, you know, in order to, you know, make us stand out, just like a news story, just like any other thing that can happen, it's a choice and a way to address it. And it's a headline, and it's a, you know, things to grab people so that they'll know what to look at. So I just think it's a phrase that's used as a headline grabber, to be honest with you.
Simona, thank you so much for your phone call. When we come back, we're going to lighten things up. We're going to talk about love, being in love, out of love, right love, wrong love. It's a Free Your Mind Friday. Get it off your chest. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Of course, this is a Free Your Mind Friday. Okay, we are going to switch gears because, boy, folks were getting upset. You know, that Black Lives Matter issue, boy, I tell you, it really gets the tea boiling. Okay, you're sipping tea. Your cup of tea needs a cup of tea to sip. Let's talk a little bit about being in love, being out of love, and all the stuff that comes with it. Okay, so, Jay, this one is for you.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. 8 guys admit what they do when they're finally over a breakup. This is from EliteDaily.com. Now, is it really true that men take a minute to get over their exes? Yes, true or false?
Yeah, absolutely true.
I'm not talking about 60 seconds.
Listen,
I'm really talking about taking some time, a breather.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, let me see now. I've been happily married for a long time. I have a lot of friends that
stick happily in there. You heard that?
Oh,
happily married.
I am. What am I tell you? Good. So I do have some guys who, you know, really, really close friends of mine who've gone through divorces and things like that. So, you know, from a grown man point of view, you know, I can't speak for the 20-year-old, the 25-year-old, the Twitter generation. I can't speak for that. But I'm talking about the 40s and the, you know, the grown men that's gone through this stuff before. It has been a wake up call to them. To become more selective, to become more, it's a bigger selection process. It's like, you know, I'm really not going to jump in. You know, the red flags wave a little bit faster now, you know, after a breakup, because it's like I will not be jumping back into a situation like that again. And I think that's, you know, really what type of awareness it brings. Now, once you start, you know, calming your little fences down a little bit and start relaxing those a little bit and start, you know, being more socially acceptable to to more people, then I think that's when your little window goes out, and then you can, you know, kind of get back into the game again. But there's, you know, when is that point where there's still the favorite song, when it's still the favorite TV show, when it's still the look into the bank account and see that the deduction that just came out, you know, when all of those things still when all of those things are still stinging really bad, then it's no way to get all the way over it.
Okay, Dell. So what do you think about guys taking a minute, and what do they do when they start getting back into the dating pool?
What do they do when they start? Yeah, first of all, I think they spend 6 months saying all the corniest lines ever because you've been off the dating scene for so long.
Really?
You don't know how to be your cool unless you've been out cheating every night. Mm-hmm. Then then your dating lines is fresh. Oh, then you can attract somebody. But if you've been married for 10 years, oh, you is just a cornball, okay? She's been dressing you. You just need to spend that time.
What kind of guys you've been messing with?
I mean, I've been messing with guys that are faithful, so when you break up with them and they get back on the dating scene, you know, they haven't had to spend that they are not the player they used to be. You know what I'm saying? Before you tame them on down. You know, I like to get players that used to be players. Now they just tired. You know,
they're like play dough, not players, right?
You like them beat down and demolished by the time you get a hold of them. There you go.
I'm like, they're like, I don't want to see another vajayjay. Just join me.
Wow. Just be nice to
just
me.
Just be nice.
Yeah. Okay, so this article says that when they start getting back, they start downloading every dating app. They unblock their social media profiles. They wish you the best. They get back in the gym. They approach love again. They ignore your text, start living their lives. But, I mean, my goodness. Okay, what? You better start living your life after day one. I mean, even if you just sit down with your devotional and
But then you missed this last one that said return your stuff. See, that brought them right back to square one right there. Whenever they contact you and be like, hey, I just want to bring you your sock and your shirt back. That means they ride back interested in you, okay? Because when I'm not interested, I'm ready to just throw your stuff in the trash. I don't need to see you again. You
okay, but no, but is this the same person, or are they using that to get back at you, or are they returning your stuff?
No, that's what it says right here. They're returning your stuff.
Yeah, it says return your stuff. Mm-hmm. Are they returning your stuff to see you again, or are they returning your stuff so that the sister that they're seeing now doesn't see your stuff in their house?
Wow.
The sister that they're seeing now, she just wants you to throw it in the trash. She don't want you calling your ex-girlfriend talking about, hey, are you available to meet on Thursday at 8 p.m. after I get off of work to bring you back your few items, you know, your iPod. iPod ain't even in style no more, so,
You better keep that iPod. Especially if it's a classic with, you know, 169 gigs.
Jay over here shaking his head.
Oh, absolutely. I don't believe in nothing you just said. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't believe in none of that stuff you just said at all. Look, I don't know what type of people these are. Look, there's no real reason for you to have to go through this. You go through what you go through on your own. Now, all of these little rules and change your Twitters and ask about, you know, change your profile name and you start taking pictures. Oh, well, who cares about any of that cool stuff? Now, I think when you have a breakup, you break up with somebody because you don't feel good about yourself when you're around that person as you're supposed to. That's what a breakup is about. It ain't about the other person. It's about how good you feel about you when you're around that person. So the moment you break up with that person, you start working on yourself again. So it ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. Now, anybody want to follow that? Mic's open.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, you know what? I need to pass a plate for you. You take a love offering.
Is there one?
Is there one?
The doors are open.
That's right. They most certainly are. Okay, now here, speaking about passing the plate.
Segue.
There you go. Here is one. You know, 12 signs that you're in love with somebody who is broke. I love this.
Cool.
I absolutely love this. You know, you are not on the same financial page. Well, duh, we get that. But when you quiz him or her,
mm-hmm.
let us say that, important. About his personal budget, it's clear that he doesn't have one. Okay, so you said you mess with guys, plural, so you're in the, you say.
No, I mess with one guy right now, and he's listening. Thanks so much. Okay, I just want to clear that up.
But yeah, take that
okay,
S, take the
baby
S
daddy,
off.
Baby daddy, just you, baby.
He's going to let her out the back door.
That's
okay,
right.
So, all right. So when you ask a guy, not this one, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, the old ones that you finally kick to the curb, for example. When you ask them about a budget, how do you know that they don't have one? What do they say?
You know, I was looking at this list, 12 financial signs you're in love with someone with no money. And I need to bring this home to my boo because I'm coming up on 10 of these right here. Ooh. I am the one with no money at all time, in every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm the one with no...
Wow.
I'm paying the minimum. I'm out of work. I don't spend excessively. I'm tight-lipped about my financial situation. I mean, yeah, I'm the person with no money, guys.
Okay, so wait a minute. So how does that work? Because, okay, chivalry is not dead.
No, it's not.
So the guy asks the woman out. He pays.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, he
Hallelujah.
Pays.
Hallelujah.
You know, he picks her up or meets her. You know, now... If she's broke, she's taking the metro and you're driving, but it doesn't matter.
That's okay? Right.
Because you're still going to meet her. I mean, you know, these days guys can be a little crazy.
She uses your Uber account.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, but okay, now here's something. And Jay, this is for you, married man that you are.
Sure.
Why is it that single women will get upset? Well, not even get upset. They will criticize a guy who's still living at his mama's house.
Mm.
But if she's living at her mama's house, it's okay.
Yeah. How about that?
Because y'all are the man.
What's
That's
that got
why.
To do with anything?
Because what? Y'all.
Now, can we?
Did you see the neck?
Right.
Did you see the neck?
I saw the neck.
Watch the neck.
Now, the problem is if we're going to say things like that, then what things can we say because you're the woman and that's why?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because
if the house ain't clean because we the woman, that's right. If ain't no food on the stove because we the woman, that's right.
But that sounds so sexist.
I said that I would be terrible.
That's
I would
right.
sound like Donald Trump.
See?
I don't mind playing my gender role because I want y'all to be the man and pay for everything, and I want to just sit at home and cook and clean. What's wrong with that?
But if you don't have any money and he's dressing and he's just starting to date you, then you can't afford to put food on. I'm just kidding. No,
now you need to bring food because I don't
food.
Got no money.
So come in with a bag of groceries, right?
Hey, or pick me up and let's go to the grocery store and watch how I make you this sauce from scratch, these oxtails. What? I'm about to put it down.
Should we bring something for your mama because that's where you're living in your mama's house, right?
I got to bring enough to feed the whole house.
First of all, I'm not living with my mama. I'm living with my auntie. Thank you so much.
Well, that's just... See, it's, there's a double standard.
There. It is.
A huge one.
There's a serious double standard.
That's why y'all make more, so y'all can pit out more. Come on now. I mean, you like that double standard of men making more, but you don't like to having to spend more because a woman makes less. Come on now.
I'll be honest with you. I can be honest with you. I have no pride at all. I make good money. But I will tell you this. At the end of every year, me and my wife, we are battling to see who's going to make the most money at the end of the year. So I don't believe in that part at all. We hustle it out every year to see who's going to do that. So
and whoever wins, you celebrate.
And I prefer my man to win the battle every year.
I bet.
Be the moneymaker every year, babe. I'm here. I'm the cheerleader.
Well, this has given us time to get some stuff off of our chest, to woo-saw, to relax as we're going into the weekend. Del Harrison and Jay Phillips, thank you both so much.
I appreciate you coming in.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, September 30th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at Facebook on Harold Fisher.